I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Locked his phone number in, 913-576-7610. Lock that phone number in to call or text the show. We've listened to this show. You know text is much more the preferred method of communication. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Josh Klingler. He is a host on Fesco in the Morning. He also works for the Chiefs Radio Network now. Kling, how you doing?
If you'd prefer, I could just text you back and forth if you want to do that.
No, Kling, I like talking to you and also hearing your voice.
Okay, that's fine. You said it was the preferred method. I was just going to, you know, play along with the show if I had to.
I'm just happy that you answered the phone. I don't know if you know this or not, Sean. I called Kling probably six times during quarantine for just various things. He answered the phone one of the six times that I called during quarantine.
Yeah, I'm sure that was just coincidence. I'm sure he wasn't looking at the phone, saw CDOT, and said, screw this, I got better things to do.
Kling,
he calls me in the middle of the night, you know, like 3:30 in the afternoon.
You do know what time he's on the radio, right?
I've never called him in the middle
okay,
of the night.
Sure.
Right now we're talking to Josh Klingler, host of Fesco in the Morning. He also is with the Chiefs Radio Network. Kling, you have seen a lot of Chiefs football in your day, and the old Chiefs would typically lose a game like that where they play a C game or maybe a D effort and they find a way to lose the game. How good does it feel to now be at the point where you cheer for a team, you follow a team that finds a way to win those games?
Yeah, I mean, is anybody fearful anymore, especially when you have a kicker like Harrison Butker, and you're not afraid to like jinx him by saying the guy's really clutch and seemingly has gotten better since a season ago. And then you have Patrick Mahomes. And I guess it's exactly how people, again, felt in New England with Tom Brady. Like, it didn't matter. You were going to come back. If they gave you a drive at the end of the game, you were going to come back and win it. And I feel like that's kind of where the Chiefs are at right now. And, yeah, there was almost a surprise yesterday that they didn't punch in a touchdown to win it after the Chargers, I felt, kind of gifted them the ability to try to win the game by kicking that field goal late. So it was almost a surprise they didn't win it in regulation. And then, yeah, having the kicker that's so reliable when you look around the rest of the league and you see these teams kind of struggling at in the kicker department, when you need that guy to hammer it home and get a victory, it's nice to have Harrison Butker on your side.
Kling, I compared it to Wade Davis, where in 2014 and 2015, you as a fan had the utmost confidence that your player was going to come through, and it didn't matter whatever situation, opponent, or how big the game was, that you had a player who was just better than everybody else. Yesterday with Harrison Butker, I mean, 58 yards, he makes it multiple times. Like, that's the level of confidence that I think Chiefs fans should have in Harrison Butker.
Yeah, you're right. It's very Wade Davis-like, where you're like, well, yeah, I don't need to close my eyes. He's going to kick it three times and just drill three of them. I just saw him, you know, kind of early on in training camp, and he was like backing up further and further. And then I saw him hit like, it was like a 69-yard attempt that hit the crossbar. And I was like, wow, he's got a little leg. Let's keep an eye on it. And then obviously he's almost putting on like a batting practice show now before the games start. And then he said yesterday he hit a 70-yarder at halftime. So he's putting on a little show, and he's super confident right now. And hey, I don't always need him to hit, you know, and we don't all need him to hit, you know, 60 yarders or whatever, 58 yarders. You know, just especially next Monday night, right? Just hit them all, like hit every one you're called to hit, and we'll be good. But his leg looks super strong, and he's kicking with a lot of confidence. And like I said, it's very much like the closer, right? If you have a baseball team that doesn't have a closer, you go, man, how hard can this be? And then when you have a closer, you're like, wow, this is so automatic. And I think at times it feels very automatic with Butker.
Kling, did you think that the ugliest of yesterday's game, especially early on, was caused more by what the Chargers were doing or what the Chiefs were doing to themselves?
I really thought the Chiefs were going to have a much better time against the defensive line of the Chiefs against the offensive line of the Chargers. They'd have had a little bit of shuffling right there. You know, Mike Pouncey didn't play in week one, but I think they were counting on him at some point and then ruled out. So they had some shuffling, and then they lost an offensive lineman early on in the game as well. And I thought, well, this is going to be a day where they're going to really win the battle up front. And then on the flip side, you know, I think we all love Mitchell Schwartz, but that's about as tough a day at the office as we've probably seen him have in a Chiefs uniform. So when you're battling the trenches up front and you don't win them, it can look really ugly. And I think for the first time in a while, they got beat on, you know, both lines and still were able to come away with the victory, which is pretty miraculous all told. But I think the battle up front that they lost early was certainly a surprise, at least for me. I think the defensive line of the Chargers we know is good, but they really had their way for quite some time in this game. So you get beat up front there, and it can be a long day at the office.
Are the Chargers good, Kling? I know it's a simple question, but Rob told me going into the week that they were going to give him trouble. Then I saw the game, and they definitely gave him trouble. But I still can't convince myself that that's a good football team.
I think defensively they're very good, and then offensively I think if they stick to a game plan, I think you can run the football still a little bit on the Chiefs. You can get them in the swing pass. Their tackling yesterday not very good, and so that's got to be shored up for sure. I think they're a capable team. I don't know if they're good. And then, you know, Tyrod Taylor's biggest attribute was that he didn't turn over the football, right? You kept hearing that all week long. Well, Herbert has about as, you know, it was one mistake, and the one mistake really bit them. And so I think if they don't turn the football over and they play kind of perfect football, they can be okay. I think that they're not there yet. I don't know about you guys. I was super impressed with Herbert, and I'm like, oh, crap. Here's another team in the division maybe at this point in time that may have found their future quarterback, albeit in one outing. But I don't want anybody else in the AFC West to find their quarterbacks anytime soon.
Right now, we're talking to Josh Klingler, host on Fesco in the Morning. He also is the sideline reporter for the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's stay with what you said about Justin Herbert, because I felt like yesterday it kind of either you liked Herbert coming out of Oregon. I thought he did a lot of things to confirm why you liked him so much, or I thought his inaccuracy kind of could tell you, I don't know if this guy can ever be an high completion percentage guy in the NFL. Let's just go a little bit deeper into what was your evaluation of Herbert. And I kind of look at it like Herbert gave them a chance to win. He also lost in the game with that interception down the field.
Yeah. And you know, you want to see other teams have that, right? That, oh, wow, and then rip that one away from you. You know, I thought, considering the situation he was put into, I thought he handled it very well. Now, Dana Hughes, the color analyst, our buddy on the broadcast, he thought that, you know, maybe it was basically the same offense Tyrod Taylor would have run anyway. And so maybe it was a little bit you know, about the same kind of game plan in terms of the Chiefs facing it. But I was impressed by Herbert. I thought he played with a lot of poise, considering he found out right at game time. And you never know with a young quarterback, you're always supposed to be ready. But it wasn't exactly like he was knocking on the door and there was pressure to be putting him in a game at any point, you know, in the near future. So the fact that he had to kind of crash course it and showed probably their coaching staff that he was maybe more ready than they thought he was going to be, I was pretty impressed with the kid, and especially when he, you know, found out the coin toss he's going to play.
Kling, you were talking about Joey Bosa. I mentioned this before you came on. I look at teams who have done a good job defending the Kansas City Chiefs, which is a really hard thing to do, and it's teams like San Francisco. It's teams like Los Angeles that can get pressure with their front four. Do you look at that like any type of blueprint on how to beat this team?
Well, it certainly looked like, and we were discussing it in the booth and probably a little bit on the air yesterday too, that it was, yeah, it looked like, okay, this is a team that's going to try to do what San Francisco did to the Chiefs. Now, not everybody can do it personnel-wise. I think that's probably the thing, but I think that is a little bit of a blueprint. Also, I mean, it's a defense that doesn't take a lot of chances, doesn't give you a lot down the field. I don't want to say prevent, but kind of prevent, right? I mean, they're looking to not give up the big play. And they can also get after the quarterback without showing a lot of blitzes. I think they were one of the fewest blitzing teams in the NFL last year. And when you have Ingram and when you have Bosa, and I really like the second-year guy, Jerry Tillery, up front, and then you have Linval Joseph up there to take space, I mean, that's a good defensive line. So they have kind of the blueprint in that regard. The addition of Chris Harris, you know, he can match up as best – you can as a corner with with Travis Kelce, and I thought they did a decent job on him, and he still had 90 yards and a touchdown. So I don't know if it's a blueprint. I think they have personnel, especially on defense, that can tell you, well, yeah, this is a team that can do as much as possible to try to slow down that Chiefs offense.
Kling, as a sideline reporter, you do just that. You're doing a great job, by the way, of reporting what's going on. And Mitch is the play-by-play guy. He just calls it kind of the eyes for those that are driving around or listening to it on the radio. Danon's really the only one that gets to offer up his opinion very often. So just kind of curious, behind the scenes, what were you guys talking about when the Chargers and Anthony Lynn opted to punt the ball in overtime opposed to trying to keep it and go down the field and score themselves?
Well, I think that there was a confidence factor, right? Like, you're gonna do this? Okay. You're probably going to pay the price. You know, he knows his team better than we do, obviously. And I think most coaches get in that vein. I don't agree with it, but I think with the Chiefs, you got to try to throw a punch when you can throw a punch and not – I felt like that they were just kind of playing, and Danon says this all the time, you know, you get in a situation where you play not to lose versus playing to win. I thought they were playing not to lose, and that played right in the Chiefs' hands. So, yeah, I think if you ask Danon, it was the same thing. Like, wow, there's kind of a surprise, and you're going to probably end up paying for this. And I think that's what the Chargers did yesterday. Now, the Chargers probably don't think, guys like we do, like, they're, to me, they're not a complete team. They're kind of an up-and-coming program. You got to take your swing at the Chiefs when you can. And if you lose, so what? Like, you were supposed to lose. I felt like yesterday they didn't take that shot to try to get a win, which, hey, good for the Chiefs, but I don't know if that's a smart play. I just would just be really aggressive. Not foolishly aggressive, maybe, and going for, you know, 2-point conversions early and fourth downs early, but certainly late in the game when you got an opportunity. I mean, I'm trying to punch in that touchdown, and if not, I'm going to make Patrick Mahomes go 95 yards and try to, you know, either get a field goal or a touchdown, but I'm still going to try to get a touchdown and make him go for 7. So I thought I was kind of weak at the end of regulation, but I don't think he would be the only coach that would go for that situation. I just kind of put my hands up and go, well, you want to deal with Patrick in that offense? Good luck, because chances are they're going to march it down the field and score one way or another.
And there's an offense that can do that next week that the Chiefs are playing against the Baltimore Ravens. Just kind of taking a quick peek toward next Monday Night Football, Kling. When you think about Lamar Jackson, is it fair to include his name in the conversation with Patrick Mahomes based on the accomplishments the Pats already had?
Well, I mean, they both have MVPs, right? So, I mean, one doesn't have a Super Bowl and one doesn't have playoff experience or playoff success, I should say, in Lamar Jackson. But this isn't the playoffs yet, right? So this is a regular season matchup head-to-head, and I think they're – two of the best, certainly young grouping of quarterbacks and must-see quarterbacks and that type of thing. So, no, I think it's fair in terms of regular season. You know, it all comes down now to the postseason and trophies and such. So Lamar Jackson's got to get over that hump. He's got to beat the Chiefs, right? So this is an opportunity. And even if you get him in week 3, we know it might circle back around, but this one could go a long way to determining that number one seed and that only bye, which makes it huge. Chiefs are going to play a lot better. I think it's certainly on defense. And I don't think you can give up as many kind of missed tackles as they had yesterday against a Ravens squad that is going to make you pay for that. So they need to shore things up, especially defensively, I think, for Monday night.
That is Josh Klingler, host on Fesco in the Morning. He is the sideline reporter on the Chiefs Radio Network. Kling, always good talking to you, my friend. Thanks a lot for coming on today.
All right, thanks, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.